Today, our scripture reading comes from the opening verses of the book of Acts. Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles, was written by the same author of Luke's gospel. We might think of Acts as Luke's sequel to his gospel, as he himself writes in the very first verse. He begins, "Dear Theophilus, in my first book, I wrote about all the things that Jesus did and taught from the time he began his work until the day he was taken up to heaven. Before he was taken up, he gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit to the men he had chosen as his apostles. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, he gave them this order: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel?" And Jesus said to them, "The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it's not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, "Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven." And then the apostles went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is about a half a mile away from the city. They entered the city and went up to the room where they were staying. This was Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Patriot, and Judas the son of James. They gathered frequently to pray as a group, together with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Well, our celebration of Easter seems like so long ago. 6 weeks is a long time. Next Sunday will be the 50th day after Easter. The church celebrates that as the day of Pentecost. Penta, like in the word Pentagon, coming from the Greek word meaning 50. So next Sunday's celebration of the day of Pentecost remembers the gift of the Holy Spirit, which has empowered believers to follow Jesus in word and in action. But between Easter and Pentecost, there's another observance, one that happened just this past Thursday. That holy day is called the Ascension of the Lord. It recalls when the resurrected Christ returned to the realm of heaven. Now, I don't think many followers of Jesus give his ascension the attention it deserves. And if we observe it at all, our efforts don't come close to what we do for other holy days. I mean, take Christmas, for instance. We go all out celebrating the incarnation, the birth of Jesus to Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. Many of the world's cultures have hopped on board, capitalizing on the gift-giving tradition of the Magi, the wise men. Indeed, the excesses of Christmastime gift exchanges, that's resulted in efforts like our church's Alternative Christmas Charity Bazaar. We offer the chance to give purposeful, constructive gifts that bless the recipient while also benefiting charity. Yes, I think it's safe to say that Christians, and others too, certainly give a lot of attention to Christmas, to the birth of Jesus. And of course, each year we mark the death and resurrection of Jesus. We've given that series of remarkable events a collective name, Holy Week, we call it. We mark the beginning of that Holy Week with the sign of palm branches. The Thursday of that Holy Week remembers Jesus having a final meal with his closest friends in an upper room. We commemorate that by sharing bread and wine in his name. The day of Christ's horrific execution by crucifixion has been given the name Good Friday, possibly as a variation on God's Friday, or to remind us of the good that Jesus accomplished for our sake. And of course, Easter's surprise and relief and joy are remembered by worship and by gatherings of family and friends, as well as with cultural expression like the decoration of eggs and new clothing and baskets of candy. Yes, we certainly give a lot of attention to Jesus' birth, his death and resurrection. But his ascension doesn't tend to get that kind of attention. For one thing, the ascension of the Lord doesn't land conveniently on a Sunday. It happened midweek on the 40th day after Easter. Besides, how would popular culture capitalize on a holy day focused on someone going away? Nevertheless, Christ's ascension is a central tenet of our faith. We affirm it whenever we profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. We say, He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And that line of the Creed gives us a clue about why the ascension is critical to our role as disciples, as followers of Jesus. It's simply this. Because the resurrected, living Christ left the face of the earth, he is no longer confined to a particular place. Now, you might find it interesting to know about a little shrine that was built centuries ago in the village of Bethany. According to Luke's gospel, it was from Bethany on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. It was from Bethany that Jesus ascended into heaven. A humble little Christian shrine was built there to commemorate Christ's ascension. The shrine has since been incorporated into a Muslim religious complex, but the Muslims still welcome Christian tourists to visit the site. Now, if memory serves, the dome-topped hexagonal building is only about 15 feet in diameter. It was built to cover a spot in the ground's natural limestone pavement. Tradition reveres that spot in the limestone as the place from which Jesus ascended into heaven. Hundreds of years ago, the faithful preserved that spot of rock by encasing it inside a short marble wall. You can see pictures of the shrine and of the rock if you look on the internet. Now, if you use your imagination, you might be able to envision the mark of a human footprint on that rock. It's certainly not obvious. But as is the case with so many religious sites, it's less important whether this is the actual location of an historical biblical event. What matters is that the event mattered enough to be remembered. It mattered that the power of the risen Christ to inspire generations of people, nations of people, that it was no longer limited to Jerusalem, to Palestine. By returning to the realm of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, Jesus now reigns over every time and place. That truth was expressed by the prolific 18th century Methodist hymn writer Isaac Watts in his hymn, Jesus Shall Reign. The opening verse says, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moons shall wax and wane no more. So, yes, we may love the celebrations of Christmas and Easter and even next week's spirited observance of the day of Pentecost, that 50th day after Easter. But now I hope we realize the impact that Christ's ascension has on the church and on we who believe. Jesus ascending frees him from the restrictions of a particular period of time in a particular locale. His ascension actually brings him closer to us and to all believers everywhere. For from his place seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus now reigns over all creation.